Hello there, football fans. Welcome to Monday's edition of the Soccer Central podcast. I don't think it's the last one. I'm pretty sure there'll be others the next couple of weeks at least. Can't guarantee that. Obviously, we were hoping to have a podcast last Thursday. Technical issues meant it didn't happen. But we're back today with a little surprise for you football fans. We thought this guy had left us until next season. But alas, Brennan Dunlop is back in studio for a rare Monday appearance. Hey, B.
Unbelievable. Rare also that I'm awake before 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
How was it when the alarm clock went off at like 11?
It feels like 6 a.m.
Yeah?
Still. Yeah, this coffee isn't big enough.
I sent you a text at 7:30 this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I've been up for an hour at that point.
And I replied to you at what time? 5 hours later.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Exactly. It was afternoon, put it that way.
But I'm really happy that my plan to disrupt your technical operations on Thursday worked.
Good job.
Now I'm here.
Yep, you are. You are. And you're off to a little match this weekend, aren't you?
Oh, buddy, yeah. It's called the FA Cup. It's going to be played at Wembley. And the most glorious and historic team in English football history will be there.
And Aston Villa.
Oh, cheeky.
Actually, Villa is... Now, is it Villa or Everton who have been in the top flight for the longest time?
I think it's Villa.
It is Villa?
Yeah.
I know it's either them or Everton, but I'll go. If you're saying Villa, it's Villa.
But you can no longer compare the two anymore based on current form and active status.
It's funny you mention that because very soon we'll be going over our prognostications of 9 months ago.
Oh, boy.
And amongst all the experts here at Sportsnet, and someone did mention the team Everton. I won't tell you whether it was within the relegation scrap or in the scrap for European places, but Everton was mentioned.
You're telling me that J-Mo didn't pick the Toffees for the title? Because I thought he loves alliteration. I thought that was why.
Well, we'll get to that shortly, okay? But the season is finished, B. You're off to the FA Cup final.
Yes.
This Saturday, your second visit to Wembley Stadium,
the first
for the Champions League final. You go to all the prime gigs, eh?
Yeah, that's basically it. Well, as we addressed the last time I was here, the $2 million salary helps.
Mm.
But to think of the quartet that I will have seen at Wembley, Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund, Arsenal, Villa.
Yep.
It's quite the quartet. You know?
One of those things does not sound like the others.
No, it doesn't.
I really hope Villa win.
So do I.
Even though, as a fan of Liverpool, if Villa do win, then the Reds will be jettisoned to the third round of Europa League qualifying.
Oh,
July
boy.
30th will be their first match.
Trips to deepest, darkest Bosnia.
If Arsenal
Bosnia?
Win, then they're in the group stage. But I really don't care. Genuinely don't care at this point.
There's a few people on Merseyside that would love to go back to Zagreb and the corners of Moldova that would not be explored otherwise.
I would like to see, in fairness, a Villa win. They do deserve something after a terrible season yet again. Tim Sherwood, you know, is one of the most likable characters, I think, in the Premier League managerial ranks. I think so. Yeah, he's a bit cocky.
Yeah.
But he knows it, but he's a realist as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he has fun.
He does.
He loves the game. He enjoys the job, right? Yeah. And it's refreshing. You know, he gives you a good soundbite.
He does.
And I think he's been, like he was last year at Spurs, a breath of fresh air. And Villa certainly owe him a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's funny how
climbing to 17th.
Yes, I know.
Under his tutelage.
It's funny how we in the media credit, you know, a good soundbite as being... weighted so heavily when it comes to managers.
It's
right?
Always about us.
Ever since Ian Holloway left, we've just been robbed.
It's always about us, isn't it?
Thank goodness Nigel Pearson is choking ostriches and yelling at players. Or did I get that wrong? It's reversed, I think. Calling people ostriches and choking players. That's it.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. But he's back. He's surviving. Great performance by Leicester. 7 wins the last 9 games.
Unreal.
Incredible. 22 points since the beginning of April.
How many foxes in your best 11? 3? 4?
I've actually done I did a best 11 a few weeks ago, and there were no Leicester players, but Jamie Vardy may have got in there at this point. But listen, let's go back to the weekend that was. The season's finished. Hull's going down with Burnley and QPR. Now, I wrote about this on the blog over the weekend, sportsnet.ca, my thoughts on this season and how, generally speaking, I thought it was a crap season.
Yeah, you're such a curmudgeon.
I am. I really am. I'm interested in your thoughts, your views on this season. What did it deliver? Did it give you the drama you wanted? The storylines, the intrigue, the sexiness?
I think that if you take a look at Chelsea and the way that they performed this season, and I know you dropped the stat numbers wise, how they scored more than 40 goals in the first half of the season, but in the second half it was under 30. I think that's a good reflection of how the campaign went, because there was a time where it was thrilling and you watched Man City go out and throttle teams and put five in the back of the net, and then they'd lose to teams they have absolutely no business losing to. And just before Chelsea started to pull away, it seemed like it's been the last few years really tight. There's been parity. It's been every weekend was unpredictable, and we've seen some fantastic goals. But as the season waned on, it really did kind of that dried up. Chelsea pulled away, obviously, and even the relegation battle was sorted with 3 weeks ago in the season. So it kind of ends with a disappointment. I still think you're a curmudgeon.
I'm not debating that with you. But I just thought it was a boring season. And you're right, up until Christmas, it was brilliant.
Yeah.
And Chelsea were playing this wonderful football, scoring so many goals. And the goals are of the highest order as well. Great quality goals. You mentioned City were in the hunt there. Man U were up and down, but they're a fascinating story to follow. Mm-hmm. Arsenal were inconsistent, but still in the moments, providing some great, great football. Southampton were great. But then Christmas hit, and Chelsea knew they'd done the hard work.
Right.
They're in first place, and this is Jose Mourinho football. He knew what had to be done then. At that point, he's looking at the Champions League, the FA Cup as well. He's rotating his squad a little bit more, but mm-hmm. not that much. But he knew he had a small squad. So he turned the speed dial down, shall we say, but he knew they had enough to still cruise to the top. And I got nothing against Chelsea for doing that. My biggest issue is more with the chasing pack,
right,
who just sucked in the second half of the season. City fell apart. Aguero's injury is a big part of that, I think. Arsenal found their form when it was too late, as per usual.
Mm-hmm.
United found their consistency too late by then, but the drama was dead at that point. Southampton, they declined, as you'd expect them, but still, what a brilliant season for them overall.
A lot of
and at the bottom, you're right. I mean, QPR were an embarrassment. Burnley provided some moments, and I like Burnley, and they've gone down with their heads held high.
You're a big Danny Ings guy.
Absolutely.
He's got a lot of ink as well.
He's got a ton of ink.
You should get a Jesus. Danny Ings memento added to your sleeve.
Well, let's see him sign for Liverpool first and lift the Champions League and a Premier League trophy, and then perhaps I'll get Danny Ings' portrait emblazoned across my chest.
Wow, but you got to save room for Nazem Kadri when Babcock wins the title.
That's right, exactly. I just thought, the last year was a great year, and I'm not just saying it because my team came so close, but it came down to the final couple of weeks of the season.
Yeah.
There were great performances, but great drama. And, it's not even about performances. A great season for me provides great drama. And it's rare, and we've got some tweets about this, it's rare to see back-to-back great seasons. So there's nothing wrong with the Premier League. It's not going down the toilet. It's
good,
fine.
Because for a moment there, I was panicked.
Some people are. Yeah. You're right? They see the European performance by these clubs, but the Prem's just fine. And it might be a brilliant campaign next year.
This year,
perhaps we have been spoiled, but this year didn't reach the heights.
No,
as we have seen.
No, just like Messi doesn't reach the heights that the bar that he set before.
Maybe
he is
this season though.
30 goals
back.
Sure. Well, I wasn't going to pick on Ronaldo. I had to pick someone
61
else.
61 goals for Ronaldo this year, by the way. Overall, 48 in the league.
Unbelievable. 48 in the league. Just call him Pichichi Ronaldo.
Well, and they won 7-3, was it, on the weekend against Getafe? Just that league's not great. Sorry. It's just not great. How many times do we see 7 and 8 and 6 goals scored in that league? It's a lot, right?
Or the 25-point gap between the top two and third place.
Yeah, precisely. But back to the Prem. We don't see too many 7-3s. Saw some 6-1s.
more than you'd expect to see this weekend. Unreal.
Like, I haven't done that
talk
work.
Talk about just hating on the Europa League and the idea of being there. Oh, let's just get destroyed.
Let's try and do all we can, but Liverpool did qualify for it regardless.
How much did it hurt you to see all the tweets? I mean, worse than the score was probably the realization that every kid who could use the internet was able to put out the stat that Balotelli, Barini, and Lambert have combined for less than Stokes' first half goal haul.
It's incredible.
Painful.
Isn't it? What a season for Liverpool. What a season. And before this weekend's match, I was in that camp saying, unless you can get a Jurgen Klopp, right? Unless you can get him, I would give Rodgers another year. After that match, I can't be swayed by one game, right? That's just emotion taking over. He probably deserves another year, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets the chop now. I mean, his team, I don't know. People are saying they quit on him. I'm not sure about that. Most of these players like Steven Gerrard and wanted to see him go on a high, but they were just dreadful. 5-0 down within, 23-minute span against Stoke?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
Awful.
What an awful fairy tale
it
run
really
for,
is a,
for Steven Gerrard.
Poor way to end it. I'm glad that he ended it with a goal, which really I think was exemplary of his time at Liverpool. And, you know, even though he's faded and he's not the contributor that he once was and doesn't have the legs in that.
Still top scorer this year.
I know, but that's telling to the squad that Rodgers assembled around him. But I can't wait to see what he does in MLS, to be honest. I'm glad that we'll get to see his twilight years this side of the pond.
You know, it's interesting. I think he'll be fine. He's still very, very good. And in that league, he'll be great if he can stay healthy. But it's a very physical, athletic league, right? And 34, can he maintain that?
Yeah.
Going to find out.
You know, I think the biggest question for guys like him who, you know, he's a superstar. And he's not the pampered elite. I think he seems... You
he's
know
a
what I mean by that?
Superstar.
He seems very, yeah, it does seem very blue collar. But I think that and we've heard this from, you know, Jermaine Defoe, who you can't put in the same category, and several other players who've played in England more than 15 years, let's say, that the travel and the what's associated with playing in MLS and just how long the season is already a marathon, but it just feels much more so. I wonder how. You know, he'll be affected by that. Same with Frank Lampard.
I spoke to Dickie about that very point, and he said when he first came here, the biggest challenge was the travel.
Yeah.
Especially for a guy like him who had back issues. He goes, it was a nightmare for him.
Older guys
didn't expect that.
That would have aches and pains.
Yep.
The worst thing you can do is fly, you know.
You're flying 6 hours cross country.
Crazy.
It's not good. It's hard enough for us.
Yeah.
We're not running around a field when we land, right? So, yeah, we'll see. I think he'll be fine, though. You know what? I know there's... Over the weekend, last week, of course, was a big farewell to Stevie G, and mm-hmm. It was very emotional. This weekend in Barcelona was the farewell to Xavi. Did you see some of that?
I did.
It was amazing,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
I mean, listen, Gerrard is a legend, superstar. Xavi is one of the greats of all time,
mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe the greatest midfielder in this era.
Would you
football.
Say the greatest that you've seen?
I know you've been
such a big fan of him.
Yeah,
for a long
he's
time.
Got. I think he probably is. Yeah, how can you argue? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, he was dominant in teams that won World Cups, European Championships, Champions League, and La Ligas.
Yeah.
What more can you do?
Yeah.
And being dominant and being the most important player, even when Messi was scoring all those goals, it could be argued Xavi was the most important player on those Barcelona teams. Certainly, the most important player on those Spain teams.
They were such an engine. Pep Guardiola's first few years, and it really was driven by him. And when he was out, there was stints there where he was out with injury. That's when they were vulnerable.
Yep.
And so, they just dropped a couple of points.
It's sort of similar like trajectory for Gerrard too, right? You know,
yeah.
he's not retiring, but this past year took on a different role, you know, and he actually would have left last summer, right? But Luis Enrique said, listen, I need you still. I will play in some big games. So a bit like Steven Gerrard, I don't think he would have left last year, but there are some parallels. But as much as I love Steven Gerrard, let's not compare the players because Xavi was, you know, all world.
Mm-hmm.
One of the greatest of all time. Stevie G is one of the greatest of his generation in the Premier League. I don't think you'll look at great players of all time and put Steven Gerrard in that category. Nothing against him. All time, to any league.
Yeah, no, right? I think you're right.
He's not there with the Zidanes, Platinis,
no.
Xavis.
No, and those that put him there are
nothing. You're just emotional.
The Premier League sympathizers and very emotional. Yes,
yeah,
you're right.
Exactly. But
if only he had gone to Inter.
If only Xavi's not retiring and where's he going? El Sadd or somewhere?
It's of Qatar, for sure. Was it the same plan he was going to do last
year? Yeah, I think it was. Is it El Sadd, the name of the team?
Who cares?
It's El Sadd. It's very fitting how bloody sad it is.
It really is. But you know what they have? Obviously, tons of money. But it's quite comparable to what these players are now making in MLS.
Yeah.
Look at Sebastian Giovinco as the example.
Yeah.
What they have is proximity to Europe and the lack of travel.
Mm-hmm.
It is really more of a,
sure.
You know, you can argue it's not as enjoyable to live in the Middle East as it might be to live in the U.S. for many of these millionaire footballers, but it's a easier working lifestyle, I think.
You know what, though? If you are Xavi, this all-time great footballer, you're moving to the Middle East, right? And you are rich beyond belief, and you're going to be buddy-buddy with sheikhs and members of the royal family.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a pretty good life, right?
Yeah, I think it'll be taken care of.
I think it'll be taken care of, right?
How many McLarens is Xavi going to put in the driveway? But he's not that guy.
I know.
He's still going to have a Seat.
He'll be given them, though. Yeah, probably. He'll drive a Seat, but, you know, the owner of his club will give him a McLaren for weekends.
He deserves it.
He does, absolutely, yeah. Goodbye, Xavi. I'm upset because we get to see Gerrard again. We get to see Lampard again. we get to see maybe Pirlo in New York as well as rumour today. We're not going to get to see Xavi play.
No, we're not.
You know, I'm not going over there, and we might get the odd highlight here and there. That's what's sad.
That's how I felt. That's how I feel about Asamoah Gyan.
Very similar,
same,
right?
Same way.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Are they in the same team, though?
Oh, God, I don't know. I'm stunned that there are so many teams over there that's the allure to still grab players and coaches that surprise you. Like the coach of Porto a couple years ago. He raised his profile so high, now I can't remember his name because he disappeared. He went to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
When I criticized him on Twitter, the wrath that I got from Saudi Arabians was unbelievable.
You got a big Saudi Arabian following?
I don't, but football is big there because say anything bad about one of the clubs and you will get a wrath of tweets that you cannot read. There's plenty.
I am not judging the football quality. I'm just saying we don't get to see
it. We can judge the football quality.
Yeah, it's probably crap, isn't it?
Yeah. They're going there for the lifestyle.
Can you say that? Yeah.
Absolutely.
They're not going there for the project.
No.
Or the challenge.
No.
They're going there for a paycheck.
It's so funny that they say that, though. Quick thing, because you mentioned the legends and the stars that are moving on, and maybe not retiring, but certainly leaving the top and the accessible elite clubs that we're used to watching them play for so often. Does it make you feel, because I get this way, watching players, particularly North American sports, who I watch as a kid, now retiring makes me feel old. Do you have the same feeling?
Oh. So the fact that you're feeling old? How do you think I feel?
I know.
I still feel like I'm young. I'm new in this industry. And I mean, when I first broke through, I was reporting on older people than me, veterans in their mid-20s, late-20s, early 30s. My God, right? And now I'm reporting on Steven Gerrard's retirement. Mm-hmm. And I think back and the memories. Oh, Stevie G, what a legend. Oh, such memories. Oh, my God, I'm 7 years older than him. Jesus Christ.
I
feel so old.
I know it's hard.
And they're not getting any. They're staying the same age. I'm getting older. These birth dates, man, we're not far off from 2000s.
Oh, it's unreal.
Making their debuts, right?
Yeah. You could be Jack Grealish's dad.
I could be.
Yeah. You might
absolutely
be, actually. Back in the day.
Chance to be a fine thing.
Knights
in Birmingham?
Merseyside? Birmingham. I guess he,
isn't he a Brummie?
Irish grandmother? Yeah
he's but he's born in England, right? But wasn't he a Brummie through and through?
Yeah. It's the boy band haircut.
I did have one great night in Birmingham.
Really?
There's no chance that I would have been Jack Grealish's father as a result. It was me and the boys had a good time, and there was no shenanigans.
Oh, right.
Sadly, wasn't that great a night, apparently.
That's the thing that people always say, there's Sans Shenanigans Charmin at it again.
And do you think, look at my hair, you think me and Jack Grealish could be of the same DNA?
I don't know. I just think that, he's showing his age. It's the equivalent of, back in the day, didn't you have a wild do?
I never slicked it back.
Yammer Yager 90s or something?
Never slicked the hair back, ever.
But there must have been one period where you're like, wow, my hair was like that?
No, never.
Really?
No.
I mean, I had the twisted, spiky.
Yeah, but he's crazy, weird hair. I had long hair than my shoulders once upon a time, right? But he is like the slick back man. It's like just awful. I do wear my short, my socks low like he does.
You always
soccer.
Have, yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't wear shin pads because I think it heightens your risk of injury.
Yeah, exactly. Shin pads playing some of these charity games and tournaments. Come on. Yeah. Pick up with the boys wearing shin pads. Really?
You never seen a celebrity get carried off. Come to one of our charity tournaments.
Yeah, it's me, though, isn't it? It's me. Ugh. You remember that when you were calling that game?
It was the Rock the Pitch one, wasn't
it? Rock the Pitch. Was it Rock the Pitch? I think, yeah, Rock the Pitch.
Yeah.
I thought I had broken my femur.
Oh, man.
I swear to God. And it turns out I just kind of tore on my knee ligaments a little bit. But I've never experienced pain like it in my life.
Mm.
I was being carried off the field by Adam Van Coverden.
Oh, Van Coverden, really?
Yeah, yeah. And actually, I believe it may have been Steve Montador, too.
Wow.
I think he played in that
game.
There was a tournament we played in. I think it was. Yeah. And there's nothing worse than getting ready and getting changed in the locker room and you're sitting beside those two guys.
Plus, you
because they're incredible athletes. And there's me.
And you also had to listen to me probably the piss out of you for there's Charmin down again.
I think at first you're like, it can't be. Surely he's down. Oh, he's down. Foot caught in the turf. Body went over. Leg bent the wrong way. Everyone thought, oh, Jesus, he's broken his leg here because it went the wrong way. Never felt pain like it in my life. Carried off.
I don't envy that.
And I was out of action for several months, actually, from that.
Mm. Have you played in many charity tournaments since then? I feel like that kind of ended your career
early. No, I've played in a few.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my usual quality. You probably don't see much of me because I'm just walking around the back. But
at least you don't run like a 400-pound man. That's what I got working against me.
You are fit, though. You're just not very fast, that's all.
Mm. Well, thank you.
Yeah, I'll give you that much. We should get back to the games at hand. Oh, by Chelsea, you talk about old guys, right, who aren't retiring just yet. Yeah. John Terry, 34, unreal. Right? Every minute of every game he's played in this season. Second time that's ever happened for an outfield player. Mm-hmm. Gary Pallister.
Wow.
The last guy, the United legend. Or was he with United or Middlesbrough back in, when he did that?
Not sure. I thought you were going to say John Terry had done it once.
No. But that's incredible. It really every is. Minute of every game. A guy that Rafa Benitez had written off. And in comes Jose, knows his strengths, plays him. And not only did he play every minute of every game, it was arguably his best season, wasn't mm-hmm. it?
Yeah, I think so. Since we've been working together, it was without a doubt highlighted by everything he did on the pitch, which was great. And you wonder if it's just the dynamic of not having, you know, crazy hair David Luiz next to him, that he could just focus on playing his game and complimenting his partner, as opposed to having to captain his partner and really, you know, play more reactionary as opposed to instinctively. I think that it was far easier for him next to a rotating pair of partners that he did have. But him and Gary Cahill make a good duo.
I think more, yeah, they do. I think it's more the fact that Rafa played that high line.
Yeah.
And JT, for all his strengths, can't isn't run. The quickest guy in the world, right? And got burned. Mm. Whereas, you know, Jose sits him a lot deeper. It's pretty straightforward, really, isn't it? Plus, you got Matic patrolling ahead of them, which was a huge, huge plus for them.
And you think about, you know, the years that we've criticized JT and what's aged him, it really was AVB's intention of that high line, and then which was followed by Rafa. So no, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
Didn't fit the player, but man, imagine if that was successful under AVB or under Rafa.
Mm-hmm.
JT may not be there right now.
No, he'd be in the Middle East,
probably making a lot of money
with the Porto boss, whose name escapes us.
What do you make of Newcastle staving off relegation at the end?
You know, they deserve to be a Premier League club, right? Not based on this season. But they've got the support, the great stadium. It is a great club.
Says he who vacations in Newcastle.
Yeah, I know. That was my intro to England, for those who haven't listened to this podcast for three long years. But I am incredibly biased when it comes to Newcastle. But just, you know, at the expense of Hull and who you want flying the flag for English football, you want teams like Newcastle there, regardless of whether they are contending for Europa League places, as those fans would at least intend to, or staving off relegation. But the form that they went in after ousting Alan Pardew, I mean, I know he left on his own accord, but it was because he knew he would never survive mentally the 8-year contract that he'd signed.
Yeah, precisely. Probably John Carver, though, eh?
I know. It was
John Carver.
I'm a big fan of John Carver. I don't, you know, think that there are too many men who can be number twos for as long as he's been and be managers. I think that this year is the best chance that he'll get to show that he can manage in the top flight. I think that he's got a certain degree to him, a certain edge to him that makes him, just, you know, not quite the person that you want to boss you for 38 games in a whole season, the marathon season it is. But having said that, absolutely love his passion. I think it's so evident in this game, and he bleeds black and white. And there's no one else you'd rather have than someone that has as much passion for your club as you being the fan.
That's why it's so sad that he will likely get replaced this mm-hmm. offseason, right? And he'll probably get kicked out of the club. And this is a guy that just loves that club. You're right, 100%. He loves that club, but should he be managing it? Don't know.
No.
But clearly there's a bad group of players there.
Yeah.
And he pretty much said the same thing, you know, prior to this weekend's games. He's been let down by a bunch of players who don't give a damn. Mm-hmm. There should be a house cleaning.
There
that club this summer. Now, whether Mike Ashley has a stomach for that is a question.
Well, if they stop scouring, have they fired all their scouts that scour the mid-table clubs in France and try and, you know, pick gems? Oh, boy. But he should have been good. Yeah, even Cabela or whatever we want to call
him. He was good when he first came. Well, Cabela was, but injuries hit him, right? But he was very good, actually, when he first came through.
But I thought flashes. I thought, again, though, you can question the whole team. I think I probably just expected him to carry more weight.
Cole Beck was very good, I think, throughout the season. Sissoko had his moments, but he faded pretty badly as well.
Perez,
yeah. He was very good, actually. He scored some big goals.
Sure.
But,
this is a team that you expect to see in the Premier League.
Yeah.
They were too good to go down. And
they are
why
the Leafs, right, of the Premier League. Haven't we discussed that before? It was Spurs before, but we think it's Newcastle now because they're abject.
I think
it should be better.
I had thrown Liverpool into that category
prior to last season. You think so?
Prior to last season? Well, you know, when the Leafs were close enough to making the playoffs. I don't remember that. Or have made the playoffs in a couple of years ago. But yeah, that's a pretty good comparison.
There's our hockey reference, by the way.
Not the first one.
No. What about poor Sam Allardyce after that match? Before he even left the field, there was a...
Before the players had even turned the showers on.
It's crazy, man. There was an announcement, a statement, he will not be re-signed. My God, obviously he knew about it beforehand, but still, show some class.
It was like...
Let the guy get home first, you know?
It was like Sullivan was sitting there with his finger on the keyboard, just waiting.
It was embarrassing.
Is that match over yet?
And you want to attract managers?
Yeah.
And you see that? Yeah. I don't know, man.
So Neil Warnock for West Ham?
Actually, there's some Laudrup's names being mentioned there.
Yeah, but anyone who's like not under contract with a real club like Laudrup, who's coaching in the Middle East.
Right? We are hammering the Middle East today, eh?
I know we are, yeah. This is great for the web traffic, I'm telling you. We should
do
it more
Operation
often.
Desert Storm has the Middle East been hammered so much.
Well, what do you think about the Omani Stars League? That's next week on the Soccer Central podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get to it.
I don't think Laudrup's going to come to a mid-table club. I think that West Ham were a really good squad in the sense of they were very dynamic. There's mm-hmm. so many edges to them, and Big Sam did a very good job with the team he had. But Big Sam is one of those guys that I don't think could take a squad like that and overachieve like say Ronald Koeman did at Southampton, and that's the knock on Sam Allardyce, and that's why. At the end of his four-year contract, the owners thought it was time for them both to go their separate ways.
You know, I've got the link to the preseason prognostications.
Yes.
From yours truly and yourself, a few of us from here from Sportsnet. Actually, on the top of this link is actually me and you. Look, we did a video preview apparently as well at some point.
Oh, yes, when they used to let us on television together. Yeah. Great.
Should we play it? And see if it picks up on the mic?
Give it a go.
Let's try it. I have no idea what to say.
We're not wearing headphones, so we'll never know.
Just give you the voice. We had to have James Sharman in the...
Bloody commercial kicks in. Why
really?
Is that?
In the middle of that?
What?
Oh, that's so fitting.
Okay, look. Well, listen, we'll get to it shortly. What is this commercial for?
It's a GMC a truck.
Player. A GMC, is it? Yeah, probably GMC, right? Hey, look, our first commercial on the podcast.
Wow.
And they're not paying us. Here we go.
No.
Fletch, how you doing? Had a good summer?
I'm doing great. Yep. Who won the World Cup?
I think it was the team that didn't host it.
That's right. Yeah, that's
hilarious.
Let's talk about all the new players. I mean, I couldn't be more excited to have Alexis Sanchez in the Prem.
Oh, you found
the volume. Am I overboard here, or is he the best thing to happen to the Prem since satellite TV?
Yeah, well, the sky could be the limit with this guy.
Look at you.
Very
huh?
clever indeed. This guy is wonderful. We watched him closely at Udinese mm-hmm. in the Serie A a few years ago now. He was the best player in Italian football then. Went to Barcelona. Not a great campaign, but, of course, playing third or fourth fiddle to their stars wasn't a great fit. But he is so dynamic. He's so pacey. He's got great vision. He's got incredible...
So far, nailing it, by the way.
You sound smart.
Outstanding. I think he'll star at Arsenal and will bring the best out of Mesut Ozil and those other stars. So I think he might be the big signing.
A few big Premier League clubs still linked with moves for big players abroad. We're going to see some new players
We saw, obviously, like so Costa and Fabregas arrive already, but I think you might be seeing Angel Di Maria coming very soon to Manchester United.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I nailed it.
Wonderful. He was probably the third or fourth best player in all of Spain last year behind, of course, the big boys at Real Madrid and Barcelona. Arturo Vidal of Juventus, the best player in the Serie A this past
didn't happen.
Couple of seasons, mm-hmm. maybe to United. No. Man, you hold the key here. They want to spend money. They've got Lou van Gaal there, of course. If they're going to spend the money, if they are, those are the guys, and they could be the big X factor, I think, this year in the Premiership.
That's James Sharman. If you want more of Sharman's...
Well, there you have it. Big X factor in this year's Premiership. They were the X factor, weren't they?
Yeah.
Suppose?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not Chelsea when the X factor.
Sure.
Arsenal, Man City finish where we'd expect them to finish, right?
Yeah.
And,
I'd say that.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think you're fair with that.
I think that wasn't too bad. But let's go over actually our predictions here. So I had Chelsea winning, Arsenal second, City third, Liverpool fourth.
You're so biased.
Going down, I had West Brom, Leicester, Burnley, 1 out of 3. Top scorer, Daniel Sturridge.
Oh, boy. Well, could have been.
Could have been, had not been for the injuries. Mm. Player to watch, Cesc Fabregas. Mm. That's fair enough, right?
First half of the season, he was without a
Let's
doubt.
Let's go. Here's Craig Forrest's Chelsea, Man City, Arsenal, Man United. Nailed it. Relegated, West Brom, Leicester, Burnley.
Mm.
Top scorer, Aguero. Nailed it.
Yeah.
Player to watch, Luke Shaw. Wrong. Again, though, injuries, right? Here's Sid's. Yeah, let's do Sid, shall we?
Sounds great already.
So Chelsea, Man City, Arsenal, Man United. Okay. Southampton going down, Leicester and Aston Villa going down.
Wow.
So 0-3 there.
Wow, what an
top
idiot.
Scorer? Ready for this? Edin Dzeko.
Huh.
Hmm. Player to watch, Stefan Jovetic.
Wow.
Well, Venice City were the top scorers in the league, weren't they? But not thanks to those guys.
No, certainly not. And Sid doesn't have access to the crystal ball that you have.
No.
That would be a nice, you know, second source of income for you. You can moonlight with that and people can come and tell you their problems and predict things. No, from the video clip that we listened to.
Yeah, it's very general though, right? Getting specifics, I was wrong completely. J-Mo, in his absence today, you're filling in, of course. Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal. Who would you think is fourth this year in the Premier League, according to John Molinaro, preseason?
West Brom.
Everton.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Coffees. I can't well, come up with any alliteration.
Bottom half they
Everton
finished this season. Going down, West Brom, Burnley and Hull. So 2 out of 3 there. RVP top scorer, Sanchez, player to watch. Mm-hmm.
I got to applaud J-Mo, though, for going with the dark horse there fourth. Because if it happens, like when I picked Newcastle finished fifth that season, that some of you had them to be relegated, you look like a darn genius.
You hang your hat on that for
Absolutely.
Months, years, and you still do.
Oh, years. I still do. Yeah.
Speaking of you had Chelsea, Man City, Arsenal, United. Nailed it. Hull. Yep. Leicester, Burnley. 2 out of 3. Top scorer, Robin Van Persie.
Didn't have
injuries
it.
Again, though. Yeah. Give you that much. But
injuries in general, age.
Player to watch. This is a good one. The player to watch this year's Premier League, right? All those players. How many players are there? What, 30, you know, there's 20 teams.
With 23 players.
There's a lot of players. Yeah. Let's say a lot, shall we? Bafétimbi Gomez is your player to watch. So he scored some big goals late in the season.
Sure.
Once Bonny left, actually.
Yeah, then he was the only guy.
Yeah, yep. Other
Better than my selection
here.
For Jozy Altidore his year at Hull. I usually do strike out completely with that guess.
How about Dobby? Dobby had Chelsea, Man City, Arsenal, Man United, bang on. West Brom, Southampton and Burnley. So, yeah, Saints getting no love from Dobby there. Mm. RVP. Player to watch for Dobby, Callum Chambers.
Oh, boy.
Pretty sure this is done just after the Community Shield.
I think so.
Must have been, right?
The great preseason, though. Great preseason.
I tweeted this whole link out, by the way, people. So check it out. It's quite amusing.
We all love Chelsea, eh?
But as Michael Oliphant tweeted out to us, there's a really unusual consensus that West Brom would go down.
Mm.
It's true. That being said, when Alan Irvine was in charge and pre-season, the players that came in didn't elicit too much fantasy.
Sure.
And who knew that Tony Pulis would come in and rescue that? Because we need to go over there in a lot of trouble, right?
They really were. And that's just, you know, I hope that he's been able to monetize his success when it comes to saving teams that have no business being saved, because it really is remarkable. I mean, he'll never get the plaudits.
It's incredible.
He'll never be courted by Middle Eastern teams wishing to spend millions on a name. But you know what he's done is remarkable in his own right. And if you like reading biographies about teams like that, then his will be a special one.
Someone asked me recently, and it's a good question I pose you: is it better to support a team that, like Stoke or West Brom, say, who generally speaking are going to finish mid-table? There won't be much drama. They'll get their job done. Mm. There's not much danger of going down. You know, there's no danger of winning trophies. Stoke would be the big one, I guess. Even West Ham to a certain degree, you know.
Or is it another team that wears claret and blue you can think of?
well, you guys are pretty close this year. But you know what I mean? A team that generally speaking is going to finish out of the awards, but good enough to be safe. Or is it better to follow a team that's going to be on that verge of relegation every year? There's drama, there's big games, there's big goals, but you're on the edge of your seat. Having not been in that position myself,
yeah,
I'm asking you that question because the last couple of years you've been on that edge of your seat, but prior to that, you're pretty safe, generally speaking.
It's not a good feeling to be so deathly close to relegation, but the emotional swings that you go through in being in that position, I think make you bleed a bit more for your club as well, and make you feel more like you get more out of it, I would say. Mm-hmm. Also, from speaking with a couple of friends who are fans of teams that have been relegated, they say coming back the next season is actually hard because you get used to them, be it in West Ham's case, it was just a year, you get used to them winning and being at the top of the table, yeah, or contending for something. So then when they get promoted and, you know, they're boring draws and they're picking up points just to stay afloat and end up finishing between, you know, 14th and 8th, it doesn't provide the same move. So it's an answer that I don't think, or a question that I don't think has a distinct answer, and one that, having experienced the threat of relegation. I think I'm biased to lean towards that end, and maybe that is the better way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No. Hopefully, I'll never discover the answer to that.
Could you imagine? I think wasn't our friend from a competitor whose initials are G-Dub, not game-winning goal, that suggested that year that Liverpool were struggling that they would get relegated?
He did once upon a time, yeah. But G-Dub has a real unhealthy dislike for Liverpool.
Right.
And
his United obsession.
A one-eyed obsession for United, some might say. As many United fans have, and many Reds fans are vice versa there as well. But you're right.
But since we're calling out fans, who gives you the most
down 1 year?
Who gives you the most flack on Twitter?
Oh, Arsenal fans.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Gooners. Relentless.
It's incredible.
They only read what they want to read. Like, you could say something about two other teams, and in there
they'll find
the word Arsenal was mentioned. You might have even given them a compliment. But if you had mentioned something negative in that sentence prior, they think you're talking about the Gunners.
It could even be, you know, Arsenal were disappointing in third, but the future's amazing. Oh, you arsehole. How can you say they're disappointing? It's unreal.
You United lover idiot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also love how, you know, we're one of the few people that get to be vocal about our club and, you know, let that seep through and try and find our own balance for journalistic integrity. But not too many people are as fortunate. But it is incredible to me how many people I see on Twitter get it wrong who you support.
It's pretty obvious. Like, I am not a United fan.
No, you're not.
How could you ever have thought that? Anyway, I think we try and, as much as we admit our preferences, we certainly aren't biased in our coverage.
I think we're incredibly fair. And
some would say actually more unfair towards the teams. You know,
we hold them
to a certain standard that they can't possibly meet.
Yeah. There's another friend of ours that I sometimes wonder that as well when I see the conversations about Villa and sometimes being more negative than they might come from other people. And I'm much the same way myself.
Mm-hmm. Before we go, because we're running out of time here, we really are.
Wow.
Bill Richardson tweeted, should Van Gaal have won manager of the year for his speech alone? Did you see his speech?
I didn't.
I see, there's such a hoopla about this speech online.
We didn't get
Twitter.
It in Sportsnet Central.
It wasn't that
last
great.
Night. No.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it was okay. It was amusing. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
But people are making it sound like it's second only to Winston Churchill in his brilliance. Either that or they're saying he was so drunk, that's why it's funny. He wasn't even that drunk. Had a few beers, sure, maybe, but I just don't quite understand all the hoopla over this speech.
Anyone
it was cool, but come on.
Anyone with an accent and anyone who doesn't speak with the cliches that we're so used to in sports, think those are the people that always get a ton of credit, and those are the speeches that people, you know, react to and lose their minds over.
I will say Van Gaal was a welcome addition to the Premier League. I enjoyed him this year.
Absolutely, me too.
He brought a lot of colour, a lot of personality. And a couple of teams are going to rue the fact that they didn't take advantage of those two down years by Manchester United, because they're going to come back. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them competing for a title next year
if they get
the players that they're being linked with.
Mm-hmm. And the players that they relied on and have invested in recent years live up to their potential, then they're, you know, on paper, they are an incredible force.
Yeah, they are.
It's only going to get better.
Anything you want to get to, B, before we sign off today?
Can I toss out my best 11, which is...
Yes.
I got a few names that you'd expect on a best 11, but I got a few names that just really surprised me. And that's what stands out. And I've learned this from putting together these lists with you over the years, that like you're over... With over 30-11, which was comprised of players that just look old, is incredible.
That was the best one.
Yeah, it's all about having a balance there. So in goal, no surprise, I went with David Ospina.
Ospina?
Yeah,
you didn't.
Just 8 games. I did, yeah.
Why?
Because he was fantastic in the matches.
This is your 11 that you enjoyed watching?
Yeah.
Not that,
as I said,
best.
My best 11.
Okay, your best 11.
And not one that would certainly field the team either.
So out of all these keepers all year, you pick a guy that played 8 games.
That's correct.
All right.
Yeah. Cesar Azpilicueta, he was brilliant. I think he surprised a lot of people in keeping Felipe Luis out of the squad and, you know, has solidified himself there. I got Jose Font next to John Terry.
Okay.
Nathaniel Klein, who was going to be an interesting player to watch in the transfer window. Jordan Henderson, because I think he deserves it.
Wow, he might really?
I think he deserves. You know why?
I like Jordan Henderson, but top 11?
To me, because Liverpool are going to be okay. More like he surprised me to the point of his maturity, how he's evolved into that player where I can say that, you know, the future isn't horrible in midfield for them. Esteban Cambiaso.
Absolutely.
Did you
great,
think that
great
he
pick.
Would be good this
Yeah, I did,
season?
Actually. I did.
Really?
Maybe
I didn't
not
think
this
he'd
good,
make the whole season.
But great. I thought he was superb for Leicester.
So you'll notice that as I get to the attacking midfielders here, Jack Grealish is in the squad.
Of course
second
he is,
match in the show.
Again,
doesn't wear shin pads. Alexis Sanchez, I told you there's a couple obvious ones. Yeah. Up front, though, how's this for a super duo? Look at where they place in the top scorers race and the top scorers list, which I'm really looking forward to in the quiz, the Christmas quiz. Mm-hmm. Should we get to do that again? I just hope that isn't the final question that I screw up on. Because I've gone with Graziano Pelle and Charlie Austin.
Pelle, who had a great, month and then just died?
No, he... Yeah, well,
no, that's
he did
pretty
have
much
an explosive...
You
like
just like
Chelsea.
Him because he's got great hair.
He does have great hair. In fact, I'm quite envious of his hair. Yeah.
And Charlie Austin?
Yeah.
Really? I'm
Put
fine
on
with
the
that.
England squad.
No, I know. He played... Without his goals, where was QPR? Really going down the to League Two.
Yeah. It would have been
one.
Double relegated.
League Two. Yeah. Yeah, it would have been. There's no doubt.
There's
triple relegation,
years,
right?
Yeah, there's
Championship,
couple,
League One, League Two.
Derby should have just been non-league after that.
Is that 11 players?
Season. Yeah, wasn't that 11?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's 11.
Was 11? Okay.
There you go.
Okay. I haven't done my favorite 11. I did my top 11 a few weeks ago now, but my favorite 11, I might put Lloris in goal. He's fun to watch.
Really? Over guys like David Ospina?
I know, it's staggering. Ospina is fun to watch, though.
He is a great keeper.
Man, watch out Copa America, which you're going to, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah.
Who else? I might think
games.
About this and maybe at a later date to my favorite 11 players I enjoyed watching this season.
And then we should do an over 30 11 again.
Yeah, maybe.
Because that was there's some
the guys
names,
that look over 30.
There's some new names in there now.
Yeah, Diego Costa, for starters, is starting up front. There's no doubt.
He does have a very old caveman
what
face.
What is he like 18, right? Isn't he?
Diego Costa?
He's like, 24? 25?
He is, I think he's 26. I think he's 2 years younger.
Is he 26 now? He's ridiculous. He looks so old. All right, well, listen, we're out of time. D, B, you're done now, I guess, for this season, right?
I am.
Heading off to the FA Cup final, and then you're off to Copa America.
Yeah.
And then you're back at some point. Hopefully the podcast returns next season. We'll find out.
I'll be back for the thick of the silly season. We know that Thomas Dobby loves those podcasts. So let's get this going in July.
Me and J-Mo are doing a special podcast later this week, Thursday or Friday, not sure the date, to honor the anniversary of the Heysel disaster, which is this Friday, 30 years. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. When... 39 fans, many Italians died. Many Juventus fans, I should say. I think a lot of Belgians died in that. But Italian Juve fans died in dreadful scenes at the Heysel Stadium in Brussels. We'll get to that. On Wednesday, Europa League final, Dnipro against Sevilla,
live
on Sportsnet. You can catch that at 2:30 Eastern, myself and Craig Forrest. FA Cup final, of course, as mentioned, on Sportsnet this Saturday. Thankfully, we're doing nothing... With Dunlop from over there, you won't see his ugly mug adorn your TV screens.
I'm actually quite happy as well.
Just enjoy yourself.
I will enjoy myself. The beer tastes so much better over there.
Beer always tastes better on vacation.
You're right, it does.
But it tastes pretty amazing.
There's something about says Guinness in Ireland is incredible, but
it is
Guinness
a little bit
in England tastes better.
Mm. There is something about Guinness in Dublin, though. There is.
I've never been.
It probably tastes, scientifically, there's nothing different about it, but it tastes It does taste better.
It's all in the mind.
Yep, exactly. All right, we're out of time. Hope you enjoyed that. For Dunlop, I'm Sharman. Cheers for listening.